Thank you, Kurt. Good morning, everybody. I want to continue to thank you for your giving. We're not too far from bringing in $16,000 for the month. I still have a few checks that have come in the mail to give Lacey. So that's just amazing. Like, say wow. Like, the Lord provides. And I'm just so constantly blessed by all of you and your faithfulness. Without, you don't need prodded, you don't need asked, you just have given freely and given as you can. And whether it's the widow's mite, whether it's a small amount, it doesn't matter. I know that you all just do what you can do, what's on your heart to do. And if you'll continue to do that, we will always have more than enough to do what the Lord wants us to do. So what a testimony. I love being able to always tell that to people, that we have a planter in the back of our church. We just let people give. That really is amazing and works. So continue to want to see your households blessed and prospered. And I was just sharing with one of our people this week, one of the people I was talking to, that the Lord's been faithful to provide for our people. And I just kind of am watching that and taking note of that. These are the times when it matters, and blessings and extra gifts and just things are coming. They're coming to Phyllis and I, coming to other people, and wow, it's just so cool. I have a testimony I want to share, and it's before I get into my message. And I have had, I think it was almost 4 winters running that I had this terrible cough, and my lungs were compromised, and no one really could figure out what it was. Even the specialists, what they came up with and the solutions didn't really help at all. So you realize there are times when our doctors are tapped out, and we shouldn't be upset with them. They are limited. They help us in the ways that they can, and then they come to things they can't help us with, and that should not cause a lot of anxiety in us. We should realize they do what they can do. We all do what we can do, and then they do the best they can, and then we need to look to other sources. We need to look to the Lord. We need to continue to pray for wisdom, pray for insight. And without a struggle, there is no testimony. Like, every good story has to do with overcoming a struggle. Every good movie, somewhere in that movie is a struggle, is an element of something to overcome. And that's why we watch them. That's what intrigues us. We see in the beginning the need, the question, the thing that needs to be overcome. And then we sit there and watch a movie that's in one way senseless, but we watch waiting to see how it gets resolved and waiting for the answer and how the characters work through all of those obstacles. And I realized that there was such an attack on my voice, and I came to appreciate how important that is. Like, I couldn't even join in conversations over the last couple winters once it stirred up and set in with me. And let alone preach worship, I just barely could squeak out worship songs, other than there were times when people said, "Man, I love your voice." And I was like in the midst of the Bob Dylan, you know, raspy, hardly had a voice thing. I'm like, okay, I don't know how long that'll last. Kind of funny. Anyways, this winter, there's been an attack, or just here this spring, on my hands, my fingers, crazy. And I hurt myself all the time. Half the time, I don't even tell Phyllis if I fall or if I do something, and she'll be like, she'll see something. Where'd that come from? That happened 2 or 3 weeks ago. It doesn't matter much. But this thing that began when I cut the end of my finger badly. It's been 4 weeks ago today. It felt like an attack. It was different, and it really affected me deeply. And so I had stitches, and it's still in the process of healing. So that was like, it didn't just go away. It affected me here. I kept pointing to my head, like it affected my whole being. I lost something, and all of a sudden, my music, my whatever, my guitar, still been hanging on the wall back here. And the thoughts of pushing one of those strings with that finger is like, I can't even stand to think about it. And so the other night, I was making, it was getting to be about 9 o'clock, and I made some tea was starting to get sleepy, and we were about ready to go to bed. Threw some water in the microwave, and when I reached in to get the cup, it severely burned three of my fingers. And I have a cup, actually a set of cups, really pretty Starbucks cups, but they have a metallic look because there must be metal in them. It doesn't make the microwave mess up. But several years back, Ron Wilson had used that cup, threw it in the microwave that even wasn't working that well at the time, and he reached in and he really burnt one of his fingers very badly. And I had this, like, I don't know if that cup's safe. Well, on the fine print on the bottom, besides made in China, is this thing, not, you know, do not microwave, do not use in the microwave. It's like, missed the fine print, you know, my bad. And I had a feeling I should have stopped that and didn't. And so I've always been, like, careful with that cup or those two cups. But I'd recently had it out, been using it, and I thoughtlessly put it in the microwave and used it. And the cup literally has like a bluing mark. If you take a piece of metal and put a torch to it and turn it red hot, and then when it cools, it has this funny look. Anybody that's messed with metal knows that look. That's what the handle looks like. That's how hot it was when I touched it. And it took like 5 hours for the pain to go away. And all I could do is just hold my hand in a big bowl of ice cubes and water through the till I could finally go to sleep. And again, it wasn't just I hurt myself. It felt like an attack. It felt weird. And it really affected me again, like, wow. And here's my other hand and these blisters. And while it was, I never heard how to burn hurt that bad, like so deeply. And I wasn't sure. I just didn't know. Wow, you start thinking about the people that have received burns or different injuries and loss of feeling in a limb, something as small as a finger or, you know, or larger with people that have had suffered losses. And you realize the pain and the trauma and the thing they've had to overcome and that sense of loss. My brother Rob's gone through this thing with his shoulder, which caused him to not be able to work anymore. The surgery wasn't successful, and he really went into a season of mourning. He's still not completely out of that, and there's not much you can do. A person just has to go through that because there's a loss of what you could do before, and I've not had to experience that too often in my life. And one was this compromise with my lungs, and then I'm going through this thing with my fingers. The testimony that I want to share, I'm not completely through with whatever's going on with my hands, other than these are the two essential elements that I have for expression and worship and praise and function and preaching and the things. I would laugh about my voice and my coughing and my lungs, like this is occupational hazard. Like, if I can't talk, it's really hard to do my job. And if I can't breathe, it's hard to stay on the planet, that kind of thing. So days even like this, they're just damp and rainy. I felt compromised in my lungs. Even the president, in talking about cures and helps and different things that will help with this virus, is starting to talk about light and talk about heat and talk about different things. And we need to investigate and study those things and see how they affect stuff. And Earlier this, before this winter, I had heard that zinc was really important to take. And it just clicked with me, and I'm like, I need to get zinc, and I need to take it this winter. So I took zinc and vitamin C, only having heard that one little thing. And I've gone through the entire winter, and this actually was a really bad winter for what I struggled with because of the damp cold, not really cold, just not really winter, just this halfway stuff. And I have not even had a cold. And I faithfully took zinc. And then I listened to another man by the name of Gary Haven. And again, these are just the things of wisdom that the Lord will give us when we're asking and seeking and searching. And it all comes from Him, regardless of the person, the vehicle, the whatever. And there are words of wisdom, and there are things that are solutions, and we have not found all the solutions there are to find. There are a lot more things to discover, a lot more things to find. And Gary Haven, who was the CEO of Curves, that all the like those workout places, and he also really studied nutrition and different things. I heard him talking, and he recommended four things to take, and especially in regards to this coronavirus and overcoming it and staying healthy. And one was take 4,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. And I was taking almost that much, so I upped it to 4,000, just for four of the tablets that I take. To take D3, 4,000 IUs of that, I believe that's the number. Magnesium, 500 milligrams of that, and 50 milligrams of zinc. And so I was already doing the zinc and the vitamin C, and I got some zinc tablets that had magnesium in them as well. So I was already taking those. I've been amazingly healthy through this whole thing. That's just so cool. And then there was a YouTube video. If you want to hear this video from a chiropractor that just was really passionate about the healing effects of something very common called quinine that's in tonic water. You just can go to the store, buy some tonic water, and it will say on the bottle, with quinine. And quinine and vitamin C, which they are linked to this hydroxychloroquine that we believe is a real agent to helping with the coronavirus. And so I've started to drink, make sure I take like 4 ounces of quinine every morning, at least that, and if not more. And we're just like, I just have this sense like I really feel protected by that stuff, not the rubber gloves, not the masks, and et cetera. But I feel real, real confident about that I've already been overcoming that. And so I just know that in all the things that we struggle with, the Lord is going to be so, He's faithful. And in time, He will give us victories over the things that we overcome and that we have, that we encounter. And without that struggle, there's not a testimony. So I continue to experience things that helps me relate more to people that have bigger struggles than I do. But without your own experience, it's hard to have a real connection or compassion. And so that's just such a big thing. I wanted to share something. I had Phyllis and I went to see Bobby Connors last, it would have been summer, and it wasn't too far away from the fall, whatever the date was. I don't know if you remember. August? October? Was it that late? I know that Bobby Connors was waiting for the, is it the Day of Atonement that he always has a visitation from the Lord? And so that was coming up.
Yes, maybe it was.
I think it was earlier that we went, yeah, in late summer. But anyways, I knew that was really close to coming up and anxious for him to publish The Shepherd's Rod. He does one of these, if I can get the light to not reflect on it. But this was the 2020. And then I kind of forgot about it because he gets this visitation from the Lord. And it's always very profound. And there's like been 25 of these maybe. And so I ordered it, I got it, and then I started to read, and it just wasn't the right time. So there are a lot of times when something, it's just not the right time to do something, so you just wait on the right time, because if it's the wrong time, I'll read something and I'm not getting anything out of it. And then at the right time, I'm like, wow, this is profound, this is amazing. So that's just something to keep in mind. It's just wisdom. If something isn't clicking with you today, just set it aside and wait on it. And all of a sudden, and this morning when I sat down early in the morning, sat down at my desk, I opened up my Bible. I was just sitting, waiting on the Lord for some direction for today. And all of a sudden, I felt drawn, reached over my pile of books that are over there on my desk and found the shepherd's rod and felt to just look through it. And there was some reason, there was something. Anyways, it just following that little leading, those little things. And often that's all I have, is the slightest inclination. And I just would encourage you, when it comes to being led by the Spirit, just follow those and see what comes of it and what it brings. And so began to read, and I'm kind of refreshing. I'd read some of it. I'm getting back into it. And then I remembered what happened. It reads in the beginning here, it is September 30th, 2019. I am quietly sitting in my office in Moravian Falls, prayerfully preparing my heart to be attuned to receive God's guidance for the theme and thrust of this year's Shepherd's Rod, which will have to do with 2020, the year we're in. The deep, heartfelt cry of my heart and soul is, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," 1 Samuel 3:9. Suddenly and extremely clearly, the Holy Spirit powerfully declared, "Equip and prepare God's people to soar higher." I had read these words earlier. Again, it didn't click, didn't get in, because it just wasn't the right time for me to hear it. Now, all of a sudden, it meant a whole lot more. We're in the midst of this, you know, this epidemic, pandemic. Instruct them on how to walk on the wings of the wind. Teach them how to soar above the chaos and confusion of these days. Is there not a lot of confusion right now? Is it not crazy? Like, we're all like, wow, I don't know what has been true or not true or real or not real. But the mandate for us is to soar above that. And even at the onset, right before I get this mandate, comfort my people. And I keep going back to that. That's my mandate, is to comfort, just bring comfort. So he continues to write, "Let me assure you of this fact, this was a firm command, not a mere suggestion." Somewhat stunned by the swift commission, I'm pondering what this could mean and how to implement and execute it when suddenly my phone rings. God is so awesome. This is truly amazing. At the precise moment I finished typing these words, "Instruct the saints how to soar above the chaos and confusion of these days on the wings of wind," my son Sean Paul FaceTimed me from Texas saying, "I've never seen anything like this. Thousands of hawks are soaring and spiraling over my house." Then Sean said, "These hawks are soaring on the wings of the wind." Amazing. Sean's description of the hawks soaring on the wings of the wind were truly stunning and also confirmation at the same time. As I observed and watched these thousands of majestic birds on Sean's FaceTime, I was truly shocked and amazed as I witnessed this mass migration of these powerful birds. To observe something like this is extremely rare. I will give some prophetic insights to this event as he writes on. A single hawk flying overhead, winging its way to distant lands, is a thrilling sight. I was just talking to Maria earlier this week, and Maria, did you not just say there's an eagle? You saw an eagle flying. It always just stops you. And who else just sent me a picture of an eagle? Was it Kevin? Somebody just sent me one that was in a tree and like they were watching it. Wherever that was, they're so amazing when you see them in real life. You stop what you're doing to watch, to look. One can only imagine how breathtaking it is to behold as thousands upon thousands of birds are spiraling upward, soaring higher and higher on the wings of the wind as they make their journey. God reminds us that it is His plan for these majestic birds to take their flight. If created nature follows Father God's plans, how much more should we? His children be guided, that we, His children, should be guided by God's direction. And then this passage from Job 39, 26, how amazing. It says, is it by your wisdom? And it's a question to Job. Job, is it by your wisdom that the hawk soars and stretches her wings toward the south as far as winter approaches? And the answer to that is no, it's not by my wisdom, it's by your wisdom. So the Lord implemented wisdom. They do this, they soar. Listen to the details as this goes. Thermals and updrafts. Two kinds of air currents hold hawks aloft. One is called a thermal. We get thermals when warm air floats above surrounding cooler air. You can see a thermal form on a car on a sunny day. The warmer air wiggles as it rises. You can often see the distortion in the light waves as the heat rises. Our lesson, as mature saints of God, we must be prepared to adjust to the shifting seasons, grasping how to soar in different seasons and movement of the Spirit of God and shifting when there is an atmosphere changing. And are we not in that? That, like, our whole culture, our whole world is in this shift. And it's really for us to find wisdom and to find the pathway through this. Just as the hawks must position themselves to take advantage of the changing air currents, we must learn how to position ourselves in alignment with the ways of God. That is the task that is before us. To find out, to discover, to understand how to position ourselves and align ourselves with God's ways. The other kind of rising air mass is called an updraft, caused by wind hitting a hard surface like the Rocky Mountains. A good breeze that hits a mountain range or a building can't go down into the ground, so it goes up. That's an updraft. As believers, we know that all things are working for our good. Even some of our hardest and most difficult moments can be used by God to lift us ever closer to Him. So as the hawk makes the most of the opportunity of the upward thrust due to some hard situation, we too can trust God and mount up on eagle's wings, which goes back to Isaiah 40. Amazing. Hawks spread their wings wide and let the rising air carry them higher and higher without needing to flap, so they conserve energy. Now, this is really a timely word, especially if you're experiencing being exhausted, like spiritually, mentally, looking at the days ahead. How are you going to have the energy to do things? And we get that way in our busyness. We're kind of in this mandated rest right now. But if you don't rest in the right way, you're just going to go crazy. And this is the most challenging thing. It's one of the little things on top of what else is going on with my fingers, is that it's just making me rest. Every time I get ready to really start going at stuff, and that's happened twice now, I was just like, okay, I'm ready to work, to build things, to go place, do things. And bam, this thing happens and shuts me. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to rest now. Well, I just had done that a couple days ago. Like, oh, good, it's time. I'm going to start building things, working things, doing things. And bam, I'm like, inconceivable. Could it be? I mean, I hate to even admit this, especially in front of my wife. Could it be that the Lord's saying, rest. You stop, you wait, you rest. For a man, that is agonizing to hear. it's even more agonizing to confess. The hawks rise without effort. They just put their wings out. They let something else lift them. True rest is about that, is letting something else begin to lift you. This isn't optional for us as believers. This is important. It's mandated. When the air stops rising, hawks set their wings and hold them back. They go into a different mode, a different position, so their body is shaped more like an arrow. This is fascinating. Then they cruise as far as they can without flapping, still not using energy. Slowly but steadily losing altitude until they find another thermal or updraft. On a good day, there can be so many thermals that hawks can stay aloft with very little flapping for many miles. Our lesson, we too need to learn how to position ourselves in the most advantageous position to be used by the Holy Spirit. And a little secret asterisk, it's out of rest. It's not never out of striving. With the greatest intention, our strivings only cause more conflict, more trouble, and more exhaustion for us and the people we're trying to help. There's such a power to resting, to learning in wisdom how to let the Lord lift us. It's like, yeah, if you get exhausted enough, worn out enough, have your fingers busted up enough, maybe you'll learn the lesson too. Just as the hawks cover more distance when soaring on the wind than flapping, we too accomplish much more in the power and force of the wind of the Spirit than in our efforts. This is so true, it hurts a little bit. Never forget, Christ instructs us that without Him, we can accomplish absolutely nothing. John 15:5. When one migrating hawk notices another hawk floating in a spiral pattern, here, this is how you want to affect people around you? Be this hawk that has the wisdom to find the thermal or the updraft and begin to ascend. You will gather other people to that. People are attracted to that. How are you going up without flapping your wings? I know. It knows there is a thermal or updraft there and is quick to take advantage, and the hawk joins in to ride on the same air mass. This is such a beautiful illustration. When people see you rising, when they see your spirit lifted, when they see the lack of striving and the peace that's prevailing over you and your family, they're attracted to it. They know there's something lifting that up. What is it? They're intrigued. It can only take one truly on fire believer to help many others find their breakthrough. I want to be that believer. I hope you do too. Want to be that believer that affects the other people around you. On a good migrating day, there can be hundreds of hawks swirling upward at the same time, looking like an avian tornado. Or a bird tornado, I think that's what that means. A collection of hawks spiraling upward like this, it actually has a name. It's called a kettle. Usually, most of all the hawks in a kettle belong to a basic hawk group. So, church, let's be a kettle. Let's be a kettle. A group of people that are ascending on something that's lifting us up. I like that picture. That's amazing. But sometimes other hawks join them. This is true of the wind of the Spirit. We see people from every tribe being touched and empowered by the wind of the Spirit. What is God saying to us concerning the hawk migration? Get ready. The Spirit of God is changing and charging the atmosphere and creating divine currents that will move us higher and higher. I want to find those currents. I want to get quiet enough and insightful enough and perceptive enough to see and discern where those things are. My prayers are often, anxiety creeps in. And I realize there's distance between me and the Lord. There's driving. And I want to get out of it. And I want to move in. And it's an oxymoron, but pressing harder sometimes causes anxiety. And you get further if you learn to rest in Him. Rest in what He's made you. Rest in who He's made you to be. When's the last time, this is tough, when's the last time you just thanked the Lord for making you, for who you are, what age you are, what abilities you have and have not? That you understand He dislikes me. He likes my voice. He likes my looks. He likes how I walk. He likes the uniqueness about me because He's God. Get ready. The Spirit of God is changing and charging the atmosphere and creating divine currents that will move us higher and higher, soaring on the wings of the wind. This occurs as we take time to obey the guidance of the Word of God. It is time to soar higher, to see better. Only then can we truly walk on the wings of the wind. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint or grow weary. There is no searching of His understanding. This is Isaiah 40. He gives power to the faint and weary, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Do you qualify for not having might? If you do, raise your hand. Like, He sees you. He sees that hand. And you qualify for being one that He will give, that He will strengthen. He increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Amen. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in Him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles. Mount up to the sun, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Brian Simmons, in his notes in Isaiah, he says this at the end. There's a footnote. He's talking about those that entwine in verse 31. Those who entwine their hearts with Yahweh will experience divine strength. And the last line, they'll walk through life without giving up. And the footnotes is without fainting. The outer court is where we walk, the holy place is where we run, and we soar like eagles into the heavenly realm in the Holy of Holies. And Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19. This is the realm, this is the place that we're called to. This is that soaring, this is that thing of life. And I believe I mentioned it before recently. Find the thing that edifies you. Find the things that just cause you to start praying in the Spirit. Do more of those things. Find that worship song that just makes you come alive. Find that creative task that makes you feel like you are functioning and fulfilling what you were made, designed to fulfill. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, and now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus, and He welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary and the heavenly realm boldly and without hesitation. That heavenly realm, that place, should be a well-known place for us. It can be a well-known place for every one of us. Do what it takes, find the way to rest and to get into the Spirit and tap into this thing. And we will fulfill this mandate, the mandate that Bobby Connors got to instruct and teach us. And we should set our heart to task, how do I discover how to, I want to discover how to soar. I don't like this only walking. I don't like this drudgery. I don't like this so earthly, I'm no heavenly good, like so tied down to the worries and the how to fix things and overcome things. And Phyllis and I were talking again, like how as we go forward, it's been a great time of reflection, like how do we move on from here and taking time to look at where are we and how are we going to move forward through some obstacles and some things that we want to see accomplished. And we came with this to this conclusion the other with the last 2 days we've talked off and on about this, that we just need to live our life, that we just need to follow the Spirit, that every day we just follow that yes in our hearts about what we feel peace about, that godliness with contentment is great gain, to just peacefully walk through life. Every time I try to work hard at getting to a certain point, I end up farther away from the point that I was trying to get to. Every time, without fail. I even watch other people come up with a plan, execute it, and they're doing great. That doesn't work for me. Like the Lord actually, I think He interrupts a lot of those plans, great ideas of mine, just to make sure, like, I want you to lean on me. I am your inheritance. Like, I got that word a long time ago for the Levites. The tribe of Levi, the Lord said, there's not an inheritance for you. I am your inheritance. And I got that years ago. And it's like the Lord saying to me, I am your inheritance. And a lot of you have 401ks and whatever the numbers are and the letters are, but you have things in retirement. And Phyllis and I are like, wow, we're going to be doing amazing just to get our house paid off before we get too old to do anything about it. But to come to this peace about it, that the Lord's going to provide for us, that we will have what we need, that we'll have more than enough. And it's a neat thing to rest in, to realize this is our call, the call that's on our life. And regardless of what the details in your life are, I'd encourage you to adopt that philosophy and adopt that position where the Lord is he's your provider. He's the one that provides. He's the one that will care for you. And we need to remember these things, remember who He is. And I think it was earlier this week, the Spirit just kind of nudged me to just remember good things, to just make that my testimony, things that He's done. And it amazingly changed my just attitude, state of being in a few moments by just starting to confess how the Lord always provides. He gives to His beloved without regret. There's not regret attached to the gifts that He gives, to the provision He gives, to the good things that He puts in our life. So let me pray for all of you. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you continue just to bless every household, to protect us. We thank you for wisdom. We thank you for just divine things that you download to us that we'll know how to live, that we will know, and most of all, how to spread our wings and to catch the thermals and the updrafts of life, that we will have wisdom so that we can run this race, and that the energy will come from you to lift us up, to bring us to this place of entering into and then abiding in your presence. I know you have this for every one of us. Every one of us. No one gets to check out. No one has an excuse. You desire every one of us to live in oneness with you, to come into this place, this throne room, this high calling, enter in with boldness to come before you and live before you. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless all of you. Have a good day. And we'll be in touch.